Hare Krishna. Had a little update for everyone on developments. There are no factual developments on the political scene as yet. We've hit 10,000 names on the petition, which is really wonderful, although we'd really like to shoot for a lot more. And I'm anticipating it's taking a little while to get devotees geared up globally. Our protest is taking place on the 13th, and that will be outside of Parliament, where we'll be doing kirtan, having some speeches. We'll be handing over the petition that we have, and of course we'll be there, aside from devotees and children, and everybody else will be there with the cows as well. Police have been very helpful, and the media coverage has been amazing. I don't know if there's a media venue that has not covered the, not just the fact that there's going to be a demonstration, but covered the fact that Krishna Valley's properties are in danger and that the government is neglecting this. It's because everyone in Hungary actually knows about New Vajradhana. Everyone may have not been here, although a lot of people have. I'd say almost, probably from every, one person from every second household in the country has been here. And so those who haven't been here, they've heard about it, and everyone has a phenomenally positive opinion of Krishna Valley. And for them, it's really an outrage and a sign of just how badly this whole church law was actually conceived and now being implemented. So lots of media, lots of interviews. We've got reaction from opposition political party who actually put in some type of amendment on the to the land law. By to land law, I mean the existing law of ownership of lands in Hungary. It's a political gesture. For us, it's very simple what the solution is. The solution is that we just retain our religious status and there's no problem. And there's nothing to amend. There's no land law to amend. So there's a buzz, and it's certainly being noticed, and it's certainly happening. And so we request, please, everyone, continue to sign the petition, continue to get others who have not to do so, and spread the word. Thank you very much, and I'll be giving some more update as there are things to actually report. Sadly, I can't say that the problem's been solved, and fortunately things don't happen like that in the world that we live in. But I'm confident that a solution will be there, because ultimately Krishna is in charge. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the verse, as previous verses had been, was about Kali's finally surrendering to Parikshit Maharaj. She recognized that Parikshit Maharaj was ready to kill him, and so he surrendered. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada was discussing about how kings have to really be strong and powerful in order to keep Kali at bay. Obviously, the days of monarchs like Parikshit Maharaj are long past. If we see the history of the monarchy, what to speak of hundreds, thousands of years, even Srimad Bhagavatam describes the degradation of the monarchy in Kali Yuga. Then we see that the monarchs, although generally in all historical traditions they've been accepted as the representative of God, unfortunately they become puppets in the hands of Kali rather than keeping Kali at bay. And being frustrated with the corruption that resulted as a result of that, then democracy became a new form of government, and particularly in our modern age, that was ushered in by the French Revolution. And where leaders, although they still retain, practically speaking, kingly powers, but they only do so for a temporary period of time. So the power, in theory, was put into the hands of the people. Unfortunately, whatever the political system, the real problem isn't addressed, because we know that our politicians in the world today, honest, reliable, trustworthy people, of course everyone knows, no, why not? Because they're also victims of Kali, as are the people who vote them in. So then, what's changed? What's happened? The problem's just been recast into a different way, but still the exploitation is there. Still people are not really getting the opportunity to realize what the real purpose of life is. And that's really the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is since power now is in the hands of people practically worldwide, this whole democratic vision of governance is spreading now, especially with the Arab Spring in that part of the world as well. Education and the empowerment of the ordinary person gives us a hope that actually Kali can be kept at bay. Where does that empowerment come from? Well, it comes from the same place that Parikshit Maharaj got it from. It comes from Krishna, and particularly Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Gatiranyata. It comes from Krishna's holy name. So by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, people can be encouraged, they can get sufficient spiritual strength to actually keep Kali out of their own personal lives. And obviously when that becomes the conduct and the behavior of the masses, and they see that that's actually the only way in which they're really going to attain happiness, then they can start to also demand that, yes, my president or prime minister has to be a vegetarian, he has to be an honest person, he has to have personal integrity, he has to at least embody religious principles. Whether he belongs to one particular religion is something else, but he has to represent common, universal religious principles and abide by those, and have that be the basis of governance. So preaching, book distribution, therefore, cannot really be underestimated. And since it's been predicted that this is what's going to be taking place in Kali Yuga, we can understand that it actually will happen. And now the opportunity is whether we actually play a leading role in that historical event, in bringing the holy name to people, bringing the empowerment to them, to free themselves from the influence of Kali, to free themselves from duplicity, from meat-eating, from lying, from mercilessness, and all of these other horrible qualities that are, practically speaking, glorified in the present world that we live in and being protected. And so when the masses start to be like that, then similarly, government can change. It can change in one country, and from there it can spread to another, and ultimately it can become a global phenomena. And no doubt that is part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan, because it's only when actually governments are stable and I could say religious, but at least let me say that they're ethically based, that real religion can thrive. Otherwise, in the absence of that, then it's not possible for religion to thrive, and if religion can't thrive, how can there be actually a golden age in Kali Yuga? So there will be, and that must mean that the way the world is being managed is different than it is right now. How that will happen, I don't know, but one thing I do know for sure is that I would not like to play a part in any type of political leadership or management, be it even a Krishna conscious one, or even a lesser religious one. But no doubt there will be devotees who are qualified for that job, and ultimately the best qualified people for it are those who have a vision not only of spirituality, but a vision of transcendence and a concept of what the mission and the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and what is the best welfare for people at large, and what is the purpose for which they're here on this planet, to understand their rare human form of life and perfect it by going back home, back to Godhead, while this window of opportunity is still here in Kali Yuga and before it closes. Hare Krishna.